Welcome to University Drive, your pathway to the transformational work of University of the Bahamas. Our goal is to build a better Bahamas by shaping tomorrow's leaders today, finding solutions to challenges, and forging new opportunities for growth. University Drive, where faculty, staff, students, and alumni travel the road of progress together with you.
Welcome to this week's edition of University Drive. I'm your host, Dr. Craig Smith. And in today's episode, we will be speaking with some of our outstanding students. University of the Bahamas' nation-building mission is reflected in the lives and accomplishments of its students and alumni. Today's students are tomorrow's leaders. At UB, student success isn't just about academics. It's also about leadership, personal growth, and preparing students for their future careers. In today's episode, we'll explore how the National University is developing top scholars, nurturing student athletes, empowering student leaders, and creating opportunities for students to excel. Joining us today are Mrs. Chantel Mackey, Assistant Director of Greek Life and Student Leadership, who has dedicated over 20 years to mentoring and developing student leaders. Our students include Tamia Hamilton, a sophomore biology major, aspiring to be a physician specializing in neurology and psychiatry. Danako Parker, an electrical engineering student and athlete with Olympic dreams. And Anthony Ferguson Jr., a law and criminal justice student and the founder of Health He, a platform advocating for men's mental health. I'm so glad to be speaking with you all today. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, great to have you all here. I'm really excited. I don't get a lot of opportunities to just speak casually with our students, you know, just finding out what their motivations are, what their interests are. So this is a really exciting show for me today. So let's start by speaking to you, Chantel. Just introduce yourself to us. Let us know what you do at UB and your role as Assistant Director of Greek Life, what your mission statement is, and maybe how you are involved with our guests who are here today.
Awesome. Thank you for having us today. I've been now in the Department of Greek Life and Student Leadership for the past 11 years. Our department is tasked with providing leadership training to our student leaders on campus. Leadership skills are globally recognized among professional competency required for university graduates. So the Department of Greek Life and Student Leadership remains dedicated to fostering the personal and professional development of our students through leadership training, service initiatives, cultural engagement, and our mission is to empower students to be impactful leaders within the university and the wider community.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit about how you are involved with the students who are here today.
Well, I've met them through some of the events we hosted through the semester and the years. I've met them through Greek 101, which is an event that we host for students who are interested in joining sororities or fraternities on campus. I myself am not personally affiliated with a sorority or Greek organization, but I work along with them. I also met them through our signature event, the Mr. and Mrs. University of the Bahamas pageant, and also through the Honor Society, the National Society of Leadership and Success, and also through our leadership seminars and conferences that we host in the summer with our student leaders.
So we do have an honor society here at UB. What are some of the benefits of being a part of the honor society?
The benefits are you get the foundations and the fundamentals of leadership training, which is very important if you want to strive in your leadership roles on and off campus. We offer orientation event when new students join. And then we offer a full day of leadership training where they learn the 7 foundations of leadership training. After that event, we host SMART goal networking meetings where we put them in groups of 10 to 20 students to work on setting goals throughout the semester. and they get to network and help each other with accomplishing their goals and just building friendships. And then at the end of all of the Leadership Foundation training, we host an induction ceremony. We just hosted one in January where we inducted over 66 new members into the society. The society currently has over 1,860 inducted members on campus, and they are lifelong members at the University of the Bahamas.
And is there a specific criteria students need to meet to be a part of the society?
Yes, since 2007, the Honor Society has been on our campus, and the requirements are a GPA of 3.0 or higher. And once you achieve that, we send out mass emails to all students with that GPA, inviting them to join either in the fall or spring semester.
Amazing. And so our three student guests here have all met that criteria. So, can I get each of you to introduce yourselves to us and let us know some of your interests? Can we start with Ms. Hamilton?
Thank you, Craig. My name is Tamia Hamilton, and as you mentioned before, I'm a sophomore biology major who aspires to be a physician, particularly in neurology and psychiatry. I do play a role on campus as an FYE ambassador and as a member of NSLS. Additionally, I'm also a peer tutor. My interests, particularly outside of academics, would be gardening, playing the piano, crocheting, and just learning new things in general.
Okay, awesome. Anthony?
Thank you, Craig. So, my name is Anthony Ferguson Jr. I am a college sophomore, a law and criminal justice major who is aspiring to become a future prosecutor and one day the overall Chief Justice of the Bahamas. Moving forward, I play an intricate role on campus as I am a transfer student from the University of the Bahamas North, where I held a position in the SGA as the Division Director of Public Relations. Then transitioning into New Providence, I became the academic senator, student representatives. That's where we discuss a lot of the student policies and as well as academic policies. And to even move forward, my overall interest outside of academics is focused on my platform, which is healthy and more so reading and all the other fun activities that come along with reading.
Awesome. And Nako, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Craig. My name is Nako Parker. I'm a freshman at the University of the Bahamas. This is my second semester. I like to do multiple hobbies such as sports, mainly in track and field, volleyball, cycling, swimming. I do triathlons. And then throughout the campus, I'm not in any clubs, but I help clubs. I am an SGA adjacent where I help them host events and other such things on campus. And I'm very helpful towards the staff.
All right. Well, thank you all. Again, thank you all for being here and being a part of today's show. So, let's talk a little bit about what inspired you all in terms of your goals. So, what is the inspiration behind your major, your choice in majors? Start with you, Danako, since we were just speaking.
What inspired me in my area of study is me doing it in high school. I did electrical engineering, well, electrical in my last 2 years of high school, in grade 11 and 12. And doing it in my last 2 years, I've enjoyed it very much. So I enjoyed the practicals, the enjoyment of setting up the boards to make power. It's all been an enjoying thing for me. I've learned it throughout the years from my parents and grandparents, so it's just been like a motivational thing for me to keep on going and keep on doing it.
And Dinako, are you from Grand Bahama? Are you a transfer from Grand Bahama? Is that you?
Yes, sir.
All right. And so were you affected in Grand Bahama by the hurricane a while ago?
During the hurricane, I was on the island of Abaco, so it affected me in a way where I had to move to Grandmama to finish off my high school.
Okay. And how did that impact you? Being interrupted in your education in that way, but still, because I think that there are a lot of students, young people who were affected and weren't able to actually, continue and pursue. But now you find yourself here at UB as one of our student leaders. So talk to me a little bit about what your motivation is, what kept you going in, in the wake of the tragedy that was the hurricane.
It affected me in a big way because in my heart, all I know is Abaco because my grandparents live in Abaco and my father lives in Abaco. And if anybody know me, they know I love my Grammy to death. So me having to leave Abaco and moving to Freeport, it was a big hassle for me, especially inside my school works. I wasn't doing as well as I used to because I was more on the missing home side, didn't want to be there. Always just trying to find a way to get back to Abaco. So if I had any opportunity during my free time on Island of Grandmama, I would take that opportunity and I'll go to Abaco immediately. But as I lived on Freeport for more over the years, I've learned to work it better, to be more motivational and to inspire others to that it's okay to move on and there's always a way to rise and be better. So for me, it was just a matter of getting comfortable and starting to focus on my studies again and getting comfortable around other people.
So, are you using that as a part of what you're doing now in terms of your student leadership? How are you using that now to motivate? Because you're also an athlete as well, right? And so you're actually balancing a lot in terms of your academics as well as being an athlete. Your track and field, you said, what event specifically are you excelling in?
The 400 and 800 meter.
Okay. So how are you using your own experiences? Again, going through that moving, as you're saying, leaving your grandparents and that sense of home, having to move to Grand Bahama and now having to move to Nassau again and creating somewhat of a home here as well and to excel doing all those other things. So talk a little bit more about, that journey for us. And how can you use that journey to influence others? Because one of the things that I'm happy about, and I feel like I'm talking too much, I'm gonna let you speak, but I'm really glad to have two young men on the show as well, two young men who are doing so well, because I'm not sure if you know, right, in terms of the amount of young Bahamian men who are a part of UB, our numbers are very low. And so I guess I'm so excited to be talking to you guys in particular, just because, because as young men doing this work and excelling at it, I think that it's really important.
To me, it's all about stepping out of your comfort zone and keeping a lot of consistency and dedication and having goals. When you have goals, you don't just stop at the goal that you want. When you hit that goal, then you move on and pick up another goal. You keep going higher and higher until you can't go no more. It's all about having a reason, a why, a because. Once you have those things, it motivates you to want to be better in everything that you do.
Okay, I like that. I like that. Tamia, talk to us a little bit. What drew you to biology and what excites you most about your future in medicine?
Thank you for the question, Craig. Well, what drew me towards biology was partly because of my future career plan that I aspire to become, but it's also because I've always had this deep curiosity about the world, about life, and how things arise and how things function in terms of biological functions. I know I may sound a little bit dorky, but that's a little bit about me. And about my future career plan, I would say what excites me most is just being able to help people because I notice in our society, like I said, I want to be a psychiatrist as well as a neurologist. I notice that a lot of people, they don't take mental health as seriously as they should, and it has affected a lot of people. Even one of the persons who I used to know back in junior high school, I would have heard they would have passed away due to suicide. And even as little, I would have known people who would talk to themselves on the streets. And those situations, they put me in that way, like, how can I help them? How can I put myself in a situation whereas they can get better, because it's not just them. They need help, and finding people to help them is what we need in our society, and bringing awareness to it.
Yeah, I think that it's really important to, again, in terms of what you said, in terms of thinking about, again, neurology and psychiatry, right? I think that you're right that a lot of us, or for a very long time, a lot of Bahamians didn't necessarily take mental health seriously. But what do you think that that's beginning to change, or do you think that we're still far behind in terms of thinking about the importance of psychiatry in particular?
I think there is a slight change, especially with the up and coming generation. I can see that we have a lot more activists who are aware, a lot more students who are engaged and trying to come up with initiatives along the lines of mental health awareness. But it also comes from the home. When you suppress a child, even as a male child, we would hear, oh, they cannot cry. They have to be tough. They're boys, they don't cry. Are girls being suppressed on what they can do? And all these things, they create a stigma against mental health and not being able to express our feelings. So it also comes from the parents as well. So I would say there is a change, there is an increase in people who are aware, but it is not the standard that we need to be to make our whole society mentally stable.
Okay, thank you. And that brings me to Anthony, because Anthony, when I read in your bio that you founded this HealthHE, a platform focused on nurturing the holistic male and emphasizing mental health. Talk to us about your the motivation behind that at such a young age. What drew you to this particular idea, and how did you go about getting it to where it is at this point?
Thank you, Craig. So my platform, HealthHE, let's focus on it. HealthHE, I came up with this platform to advocate for young men that are currently struggling with mental health. We know the constraints that society places on young men, especially growing up in our nation, where a lot of the traits of to toxic masculinity is displayed in homes. Like just like how Miss Hamilton said, or how Tamia said, I should say, that boys can't cry, or you're not allowed to cry, or you're not allowed to express yourself emotionally because of the kind of home that you come from. And moving forward, I grew up in a home where my dad is disabled. He's hearing impaired, and he was one of the first members to graduate from the University of the Bahamas with a degree in education, and now moving on to his doctorate degree, where he's a doctor of education. And I saw the way how he interacted with the world and how everything was not normal for him. And he went through this whole mental spiral where I watched my dad decline for a short period of time, where we had to be up and down with him to the hospital. And I realized that we don't take the time out of our busy schedules to really ensure that the men in our family are okay. We just see them, we often give them a hug and just move on. But do we really focus on the mental aspect of it? Do we really zero in on those little things that can attribute to mental health in men? And how I have been going about this is that I've been speaking with a lot of my male friends, checking up on them, ensuring that they're okay, just being that fail-safe buddy in the event if all things go wrong and they feel as if that they have no one to talk to. I am here as that gateway, or as that doorway, for them to have that open kind of conversation by creating a safe space.
All right. This is amazing. This is a great conversation. However, we've reached the point where we have to take our first break, but we are just getting started with our conversations with our students, our student leaders, and our assistant director of Greek Life and Student Leadership. And so we will be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Chapter One Bookstore is proud to serve the students, faculty, and staff of the University of the Bahamas and the community at large. We are the premier choice for the purchase of university textbooks and supplies and UB logo apparel, paraphernalia, and gifts. We also carry a wide variety of school supplies, learning aids, and leisure books. Visit our copy center for all of your printing, copying, and binding needs. Chapter One Bookstore is located on the ground floor of the Michael H. Eldon Complex on University Drive. Shop with us on Monday through Saturday. You can contact us at 397-2650 or email at chapter1@ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chapter One Bookstore. Chapter One, the premier choice.
Are you ready to take your knowledge or career to new heights? Don't wait to invest in your future. Do it now. How? Earn a professional development certificate from University of the Bahamas. Whether you're looking to enhance your leadership abilities, sharpen your technical skills, or explore a new field entirely, our Continuing Education and Lifelong Learning Center has the ideal course for you. We offer single-phase electrical, ethics in procurement, accounting for entrepreneurship, stop managing, start leading, dynamic presentations, digital marketing, superior customer service, and justice of the peace. We even have courses on smartphone photography, TikTok videos, defensive driving, and interacting with difficult people. Or open the door to new languages with English as a second language, conversational Chinese, and Spanish in the workplace. Our instructors are experts in their fields, and they're here to support you every step of the way. Call us at 302-4449. Enroll today.
Welcome back to University Drive. I am your host, Craig Smith, and today we're talking with some of our student leaders at University of the Bahamas, as well as with Mrs. Mackey, Assistant Director of Greek Life and Student Leadership. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the signature events that your organization puts on at UB?
Some of our signature events that we host each fall and spring semester is Greek 101, because our department is combined with Greek Life, where we provide information to students who are interested in joining Greek organizations, sororities, or fraternities on campus. We also have the Honor Society that I spoke about earlier, which is for honor roll students who make 3.0 or higher. We have, like I mentioned, over 1,860 inducted alumni from the University of the Bahamas. And we brag that we are the first Caribbean chapter. This is the largest honor society in the United States. We also introduced a chapter to BTVI 2 years ago. So we are proud of that. Also, we have the University of the Bahamas pageant. We just hosted it in March, where we crowned a new Mr. and Mrs. University of the Bahamas. Hopefully they'll be on your show before the semester ends. We also mentor President Scholars, which is the President Scholar Program, where top high school achievers apply to be accepted into the President Scholar Program. And we also have the Leadership Retreat, where we take a group of 60 to 100 students to a campsite on one of the family islands. The last campsite we went to was in Eleuthera, Camp Bahamas Ministry, where we provide leadership training and mentorship to different clubs and organizations on campus, such as Student Government Association, Rotaract, NSLS, various clubs and organizations on campus to prepare them for their leadership roles coming up in the fall semester. As you know, SGA just had their elections, so we would be providing training for them and also training for other organizations that would be starting up in the fall semester.
Chantal, I'm going to be a little controversial. And so you and or you, our students can respond to this. You talked about Greek 101 and Mr. and Mrs. UB pageant, right? So I want, are any of students, are any of you, did any of you take part in Greek 101 or Mr. and Mrs. UB pageant?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, good. All right. Again, me playing devil's advocate. I'm really interested. Chantal, maybe we can start with you and then we can get the students' input. What is the benefit of a pageant? Why in 2025? Talk to me about how you see a pageant functioning in terms of building leadership and or what does it do for a student and maybe even the university at large?
Well, Craig, The University of the Bahamas pageant is a signature event and program that challenges well-rounded students to enrich and develop themselves through demonstrated strong leadership skills and social consciousness. Student contestants engage in community service while benefiting from mentorship, networking opportunities, professional development, instructions on etiquette, and leadership training. As a result, the comprehensive training program and the contestants are equipped to serve as well-rounded ambassadors for the University of the Bahamas. Now, when they are crowned, Craig, they participate in all signature university events such as the UB Alumni Association Awards and Banquet. They get hosts events on campus with our department, and they also can portray their platform to the university community and also to our stakeholders. Also, they get involved in community services initiatives such as peer tutoring for primary or high schools, where they go in and they talk with students. So it provides them with the opportunity to stand out as ambassadors or the face of the University of the Bahamas.
Awesome. Thank you for that response. So for the young folks who were a part of the event, can you all talk to me about your motivation for being a part of the pageant, and what was that experience like for you?
Well, I'll go first. So with my title going into the pageant, I was Mr. Law and Criminal Justice, and I also represented the University of the Bahamas Northern Campus in the pageant, where I placed third runner up in the competition. My motivation for this pageant was about defying odds. As I said, my dad is one of the role models who I followed after, because as I said, he had graduated from the university as the first hearing impaired teacher to be in the classroom. And on his graduation day, they literally shook cowbells for him. And I said that if my dad is one of those persons who has a disability and can achieve a bachelor's degree, then why can't I enter into a pageant to display my overall self, my overall student leadership? And even coming out of the pageant now and still going on campus and being a student, I learned how to interact better with the student populace. I even learned how to have proper conversations in terms of etiquette, in terms of being more social with my peers, especially when it comes to having delicate conversations or going into certain spaces. The pageant offers you a wide variety, or a multifaceted variety, of who you can become while in training. And in the training process, we learned about how to become people, how to become people persons. We also learned about how to have proper speech, and when you're in public spaces, how to also greet and shake hands, all of those other things that come with being in a pageant. So this is actually one of the greatest things I have done for this semester. And I'll tell anyone who wants to run, go ahead and run.
Awesome, thank you. Danako?
My experience into the pageant was great on my hand. I was Mr. Electrical Engineering and Technology. My platform was conflict resolution and combating violence, speaking out to the violence that we have in the Bahamas today, showing people that there's always a way to resolve a situation or a problem without it having to get to a certain point of issue. In the pageant, I've learned more on public speaking because I've never liked public speaking or the fact of stepping out of my comfort zone. So the fact that I was doing the pageant was a step out of my comfort zone to help motivate others and my peers. So that is always good to step out of your comfort zone. And then on the speaking level, I learned how to speak more publicly, how to want to be involved in other things instead of being shy or scared to go and do it. Instead, now I just get up and go do it because now I feel more confident in everything that I do. While I was in the pageant, I also made new friends, learned better ways to go throughout my years in the university, got advice from other people, made better companionship with others. It was just an overall experience. It was great.
All right, Danako, and I think that we can hear that confidence in your responses, right? Both you and Anthony are, right, really great speakers, and thank you for answering those questions for me. I think that it's really important that you all, the three of you, answered in that way, because I do think oftentimes people don't understand the ways in which, you know, we think about pageants in a particular kind of way, right? And I think that it's really important for you all who organized and those of you who were a part of it to be able to articulate and let folks know exactly what the pageants do and what they have done for you. So thank you for that response. Tamia, you did not respond, so you were not a part of the pageant.
No, sir, but I did enjoy the speculation of it. I could definitely hear the confidence in their voices. Watching the pageantry and the former Miss and Mr. Yubi and their work that they did, I can truly say that pageantry is not just about the show and the makeup, the walk, but it's also about the service, and that's often left behind.
Thank you for that. Now, let's stick with you, Tamia. Talk to me a little bit about, again, in terms of your role as a leader at UB, how do you see UB preparing students for global opportunities in healthcare specifically?
Thank you for that question. Definitely the program in the biology department, they did upgrade. So the reason why I'm saying biology instead of biochemistry, as most seniors or juniors would refer to, is because they did upgrade it. So they have made efforts to make us more marketable to global societies. Additionally, they do have a partnership with SGU so that we as Bahamian students here in the University of the Bahamas, we have first preference and our application gets sent through once we meet all the requirements and the process gets sent through first. So the University of the Bahamas has made some efforts. Additionally, with our advisors, they do help us in guiding us in what we can do. There's also a partnership with Doctors Hospital where we get discounts on certification opportunities. Additionally, my first semester, which was last year, I was able to do the CPR and AIDS training for free along with the pre-medical science club that I'm a part of.
That sounds really good. What about the rest of you? Anthony, within your field in law and criminal justice, how's your experience been so far?
Thank you. My experience so far dealing with the justice system or the judicial branch of the Bahamas has been a really intricate one. Now, when we think about the judicial branch, what do we think of? We think of maybe criminals coming in and out of court. I have gotten the opportunity to really work in the Supreme Court in Grand Bahama and coming over now to New Providence to take a lot of legal classes. And I told them, when you come to the Supreme Court, you're going to see a lot of emotions run wild, but it's the job of the attorney to ensure that the court is handled properly and also to ensure that your client's case gets heard properly. And when it comes to facing a lot of the socioeconomic situations around us today, that is one of the causes of crime. And if we look back at it now, in this day and age, the younger generation, or I should say the Gen Zs, which is my age bracket, people that are born in the 2000s and further down, we are now bringing a new dynamic, a new flair, and a new way of understanding to the legal system. We're now adding in this different dynamic of how we want to change it, what things we want to change, what changes we want to see. And from being able to work in the Supreme Court last summer and working with with Chief Justice Andrews Forbes, I got to learn a lot about VBIs, a lot about sentencing letters, a lot about court of appeal letters, all of those things and those various documents I got to type up. I actually got to see and feel how a living and breathing case actually works. I got to see, type up, and feel how a living and moving legal document works. And it's a serious chain of command and it's lengthy. However, it's still a good career path to choose if you are passionate about the legal system and legal writing and also legal scholars.
Interesting. I want to throw the question over to Danako as well. But before I do that, Anthony, I'm wondering, again, because you are a law and criminal justice student, and also you've created, I felt like we went over your healthy organization a little bit too quickly. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how you see, because I think that a lot of times when we think about crime, a part of that often is has to do with mental health issues. How do you see those two interests of yours? How do you see those working together? Or how are you bringing those things together? Again, in terms of thinking about crime and mental health and how one may lead to the next.
Thank you, Craig. So let's picture this. Criminality and mental health, they don't fit inside the same boat. They don't sit in the same room as each other, and they also do not eat at the same dinner table. Criminality uses a spoon, and mental health uses a fork. They are not the same utensils. They don't serve the same purpose. However, although they are required for eating, both of them are used for different meals. Mental health can lead to criminality in the event of we don't have the proper facilities set up to ensure that the individuals that are causing the crimes are not clinically diagnosed with the different various mental disorders. If someone says that they are mentally ill or mentally deranged, then that's where the court should then aid a psychological evaluation to be taken on that individual who committed a crime. Just because to us and our constitution mandates or states that it is a crime does not mean that the person that's capable of doing it should be reprimanded or going to jail because that they have a different cognitive idea or display from what it is that we show. And if we dive a little bit deeper into it, a lot of these condescending factors that are taking place around us are a lot of the causes of crime. Like jealousy can be one thing, but however, as it comes back to mental health, we can't say that someone with ADHD is capable of committing mass genocide. We can't say that someone with dissociated personality disorders is a person who can commit fraud because they have different personalities. We can't say that someone with schizophrenia is just an automatic murderer because they have no sense of remorse. The thing about mental health is that it's not focused on, it's not educated well enough, and us as a Bahamian nation, we're not well educated enough on the whole idea or topic of mental health. What we do is because we don't like how it sounds, or we already have the fact that you're crazy, in our minds, we just tend to pack it in a pretty box with a lot of pretty wrappings and just present it as a Christmas present and expect everyone to just blow over it and nothing comes out of it.
All right. Thank you for that. I'm really looking forward to hearing more from both you and Tamia in terms of that, right? Because again, in terms of mental health, in terms of psychiatry and the way or the stigma that many Bahamians still have when it relates to that and understanding that, you know, when we don't talk about it, there's no way to change. And so I'm really excited that both of you are engaged in these conversations and working towards promoting that change. So thank you for that. Let me take another break, and we will be right back after these messages.
Are you ready to take your knowledge or career to new heights? Don't wait to invest in your future. Do it now. How? Earn a professional development certificate from University of the Bahamas. Whether you're looking to enhance your leadership abilities, sharpen your technical skills, or explore a new field entirely, our Continuing Education and Lifelong Learning Center has the ideal course for you. We offer single-phase electrical, ethics and procurement, accounting for entrepreneurship, stop managing, start leading, dynamic presentations, digital marketing, superior customer service, and justice of the peace. We even have courses on smartphone photography, TikTok videos, defensive driving, and interacting with difficult people. Or open the door to new languages with English as a second language, conversational Chinese, and Spanish in the workplace. Our instructors are experts in their fields and they are here to support you every step of the way. Call us at 302-4449. Enroll today.
Chapter One Bookstore is proud to serve the students, faculty, and staff of the University of the Bahamas and the community at large. We are the premier choice for the purchase of university textbooks and supplies and UB logo apparel, paraphernalia, and gifts. We also carry a wide variety of school supplies, learning aids, and leisure books. Visit our copy center for all of your printing, copying, and binding needs. Chapter One Bookstore is located on the ground floor of the Michael H. Eldon Complex on University Drive. Shop with us on Monday through Saturday. You can contact us at 397-2650 or email at chapter1@ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chapter One Bookstore. Chapter One, the premier choice.
Welcome back to University Drive. Today we are speaking with some of our student leaders of tomorrow. Well, our leaders of tomorrow, our students today at University of the Bahamas. And we're also speaking with Mrs. Chantal Mackey, Assistant Director of Greek Life and Student Leadership at the University of the Bahamas. Before the break, we were talking to students about their program and at UB and how they're feeling about their programs in particular. And I think we didn't get to Donako. So Donako, just can you talk to us a little bit about how the program is going for you so far? What are some of the highlights that you've experienced up to this point?
The program so far has been going great for me. Everybody that I've met have been very accepting. I've made great friends and loved ones. Going on through my time at the university, I'm becoming a better person throughout my program. I'm learning more on the consistency side and dedication towards my sport. My coach, he always pushes me to be the best me I can be. He makes me feel comfortable. He knows when to not be fully comfortable, knows when to and when not to. He makes sure that I'm always on top of my work, always on top of everything that I need to do in the university. He always pushes me to be better, even when I'm on the track.
Awesome. Go ahead.
No, I was saying just all in class.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Chantal, let me get back to you again in terms of thinking about the programs. What advice would you give to students, other students who want to step into leadership roles but feel hesitant? I think that listening to this program and listening to these three students speak is a great ad for what you guys are doing. But what advice would you give to students who think they want to maybe try getting into leadership roles, but aren't sure about that?
Well, the advice I would give any incoming freshman or students coming into the university is to identify their passion and have a drive for it. I would also encourage them to get involved on campus. We have a lot of students who come to the University of the Bahamas and they are not getting involved. They just go to class and they go home. I would encourage them to get involved in an honor society like NSLS, plug NSLS, or in any other organization to help them understand the foundations of leadership, learning it, putting the fundamentals of the leadership foundation into action. Because you have to put it into practice just how you would put it into your maths or science. And it will happen as you learn and develop in it. And leadership is not about just a title. Leadership is about you being able to influence your colleagues and peers and friends. And also, it's something that you have to be passionate about. And once you develop yourself in it more, you'll become a better leader on campus. So I would encourage university students and these students on this program to continue working and developing their leadership skills and just following their passions in life.
All right. Tamia, what about you? What advice would you give to classmates or other students who see what you're doing, and maybe want to follow in your footsteps in becoming a leader? What would your advice be?
Thank you for the question, Craig. And definitely, I have had this conversation many times. As an FYE ambassador, I have often been promoting future FYE ambassadors, telling them about the process, how we inspire other first-year students, how we make such an indelible mark and a profound first experience, because we're one of the first people they see when they step onto the new campus. And so just telling them, hey, it's okay if you don't know about it yet, and tell them to take it step by step. also giving it, keeping an open mind about the opportunities, about the experiences you might have, and not always focusing on the negative. Because sometimes often they look at their limitations and not their potential, not seeing that they might have the leadership qualities and capabilities. They might have that charm. They might be able to connect with other students, like, and they might have similarities that they can build upon in those conversations and in their work of servitude. And so just giving it a chance and keeping an open mind about it.
Can I ask all of the students, what role did mentors play in your education experience up to this point to get you where you are? What roles did mentors play in your experiences so far?
I'll go first.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So my mentors played a very pivotal and very monumental role in my dream and passion for education. I graduated high school 4 years ago as my class salutatorian, and I remember giving my speech about future continuity, the things that I would want to become in the future, and the driving forces that would encourage me to aspire to become that great attorney, or aspire to become the chief justice, or aspire to become a justice, sitting on the bench one day and having to make rulings or deliberations on cases. And my mentors always taught me to never limit yourself or place your ideas in a box, because when you do that, you become a copy of who society wants you to be and not who you want yourself to be. Always strive for the best, always aim to be the best, always remain humble, and always remember to put the Lord first, and in all things acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. That has been one of the most life-defining concepts for me that I had to adapt to after graduating high school, especially coming into tertiary education, where you're dealing with a lot of different personalities on a higher level. You're coming into a lot of professional workspaces. You're trying to become a member of a global society. You're trying to obtain a degree. And I think if we focus on those driving forces and how well they equip us, or how well they push us to become better versions of ourselves, imagine how much lighter a lot of the things that we do in our life will become. Imagine how much easier certain tasks will be. I'm not saying that everything should be genuinely or aboriginally easy, but however, they should be a little bit lighter because of those tools that you were given to provide. Thank you.
All righty. Tamia and Donako, mentors in your lives? Have you had mentors? What has it meant for you up to this point?
I've had a lot of mentors in my life. When locating from different island to island, I've met a lot of people who've spoken to me on many different ways to get through life. Even when you're stressed or worried or having doubts about anything, I was taught that there was always a way to look around things. There's always a way to get around things. There's always a way to be better, even though you feel like you can't be better. When doing things, there's always a reason, a why, a because. There's no such thing as I can. The word I can is very much a word that I've been taught not to use, even when I feel like I can. I've been taught that there's always a way that you can. Even when it comes to going to the university now, I've been molded into being more of a confident person, more of a person to step out of my comfort zone, to be more bold and compassionate about the things that I do, and to always be nice and kind to others.
Tamia, same question.
Yes, thank you. I would definitely say my mentors have left an indelible mark on my experience and shaped me to be the person who I am. I just had to look for something that they gave me at graduation, and it always stuck with me. It says, go in the direction of your dreams. Always remember you are braver, stronger, and smarter than you think. And it's just the little encouragements, the advice that they give, the opportunities that they seek out for me. And they're always pushing me and driving me to become a better person, and finding things and molding me into a more confident version of myself. A lot of the things that I would have been participating in, I would have not done, especially back in high school when I was in youth and parliament, I would have not done it. if they had not encouraged me to and given me the opportunity to put myself out there and to speak and advocate for myself. And so having someone who constantly has your back, who constantly is motivating you, driving you, and telling you that you can be anything that you put your mind to, well, of course, with God's help. So it's just something that is just so inspiring and so it's just meaningful to me.
Thank you all. I wonder, though, if you all realize that you are now in that position of mentor, where you are right now today, because in listening to your responses, I can almost hear that you're thinking or you're referring to older folks, right, who has guided you in a particular kind of way. But, you know, listening to you all speak and looking at the experiences that you've had and where you are today. I mean, you guys are, you know, honor roll students. Everyone has above a 3.6 GPA and whatnot. I wonder if you realize that you are now in the position of mentors, right? And the way that you are reflecting on the mentors that worked to help you to get to where you are today, that you're actually now in that position to be that for others as well, for your peers right now today at UB. And so I hope you understand that and, you know, run with that, you know? So we're slowly running into the hour, but I have a question that I want to ask each of you, each of the three of you. And so it's a two-part question. It's looking back and looking forward, right? And so my question is, if you were to look back to when you were maybe in 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, what advice would you give to your 10th grade, 11th grade self, knowing what you know now? And thinking back to what you thought you knew then, what kind of advice would you give to that teenager you? The second part of that is, if we are looking forward 5 years after graduation, where do you see yourself and what are you doing? Can we start with Tamia?
Yes, we can. Thank you so much for the question. So looking back into the past at my 10th grade and 11th grade self, I would definitely have to tell her that to not worry, to not be concerned. Back before I went to C.R. Walker Senior High School, rep the Knights, and at that point in time, I actually did not know which school I was going to, because initially I was assigned to go to Doris Johnson, and that was during the pandemic time. I graduated junior high school in 2020. So it was a lot of confusion, a lot of not so much clarity and definity of where I was going to. But looking back on it, it's just that not being scared of what the path that is ahead. Not being scared of being with people who I was not familiar with, people who I would have not known, and just taking it for what it is and enjoying all the opportunities that present itself to me. And 5 years into the future, hopefully, and with God's help, I see myself in my first year in residency as a neurologist and psychiatrist. I have already completed medical school, and I would be enjoying my extracurricular activities, still probably sewing, crocheting, and writing poems and gardening, hopefully, and just trying to assist people. Probably would have created a platform here in the Bahamas with mental health awareness, talking, would have already went to schools, talked to individuals about mental health, and seeing that there's already elevated standard and understanding and appreciation of mental health awareness, and just living the life that I've always wanted and dreamed of.
Amazing. Thank you. Danako?
what things that I would say to my 10th grade self is that I feel like he should have been more serious, more bold, more into stepping out of his comfort zone to be more out there in life, to be more intellectual, to try to be more out there around people, to try and make greater bonds where he can help elevate himself some more. And I would probably tell him to be more consistent in everything that he do. Although sometimes he don't feel like it, he shall always do it. 5 years from now, I would like to see myself as a college graduate and taking up another degree in business. So I want to see myself to be better than how I am now, to always know that the goal is never just the goal.
All right. Thank you very much. And Anthony.
Thank you for the question. Looking back, I would tell my 10th and 11th grade self to be patient, don't rush, and perfectionism is a lie, because I worked so hard in both grade 10 and 11 that when it came to grade 12, I barely did anything because I sat all of my BGCSEs from the 10th grade where I attended Queen's College when I was living on the island of Providence, which would have been 8 years ago. And then I transitioned into Grand Bahama, where I attended the prestigious institution of Grand Bahama Academy of the Seventh-day Adventists. And I would tell him to take his time and breathe, take your time, and don't let opportunities pass you by because you're too afraid to take on leadership positions. And looking forward into the future, I see myself as that beaming bright prosecutor, advocating and bringing justice for those who can't speak for themselves, just being that overall mouthpiece for the small man who can't seem to find his voice in a lot of the chaotic situations. And even more so, even after that, I see myself sitting on the bench and making deliberations on cases and even elevating into politics and becoming the Minister of Foreign Affairs or legal affairs, where I'm making all of the country's decisions on legal matters or making all the country's decisions on foreign matters. But I still see myself in the overall of coming back to the university, wanting to run a legal program, wanting to teach and give back to the university because they poured a lot into me. So why not pour a lot back into them? Thank you.
I believe every word. I believe that you all will achieve everything that you say that you will achieve. I'm thoroughly convinced. Thank you all for your thoughts. You've given us a lot to think about. Chantel, any closing remarks that you want to leave us with? You want to wrap us up with information about the leadership programs, how folks can find you if they're interested? I don't know if parents reach out to you, if they want the kids involved, or if students reach out to you directly. Talk to us a little bit about how they can find you and maybe give us a little bit more about what is available for them.
Thank you. I can be reached at 302-4378. I work in the Student Union Building. It's located above the cafeteria, above the cafeteria. Our offices is located in the corridor shared with Campus Life. And you can follow us on social media, Greek Life and Student Leadership at the University of the Bahamas. Also the National Society of Leadership and Success, UB chapter. And also we are on Instagram and on TikTok. So you can follow our pages and you can email me or contact me if you need to, if you're interested in any leadership training, development, or any of our programs. And also if you want to partner with us, anyone want to partner with us to develop our student leaders on campus, you can reach out to me.
Awesome. Thank you. Anthony Ferguson Jr., Tamia Hamilton, Danako Parker, any final words, final thoughts from you?
To all those listening, I just want to say that you can achieve anything that you set your mind to. Don't let other people's limitations or the limitations that you put on yourself hold you back and restrain you from achieving the desires and dreams that you have.
Amazing. Danako, anything from you?
I just want to say to always put God first, and there's always a way to be better.
Amazing. Thank you all so much. This has been an incredible conversation. We've heard from student leaders, scholars, and advocates who are making the most of their UB experience and paving the way for future generations. You know, this has been such a great conversation for me. Hearing you guys and hearing your excitement and your commitment to the work, it really rejuvenates me and makes me feel good about what we do. And yeah, it's been very enlightening for me. So thank you guys for that. To our guests, Mrs. Chantel Mackey, and students Tamia Hamilton, Danako Parker, and Anthony Ferguson Jr., thank you for sharing your stories and insights. To our listeners, if you're a student looking for leadership opportunities, scholarships, or academic support, UB has the resources to help you thrive. Visit www.ub.edu.bs to learn more. I'm Dr. Craig Smith, and this has been University Drive. Thank you for tuning in. Stay inspired, stay focused, and we'll see you next time.
University Drive is a production of the Office of University Relations at University of the Bahamas. All rights reserved.